Psalm 145, verses 3 through 7. Yahweh is great and is highly praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. I will speak of your glorious splendor and your wonderful works. They will proclaim the power of your awe-inspiring works, and I will declare your greatness. They will give a testimony of your great goodness and will joyfully sing of your righteousness. May God bless the reading and receiving of His Word.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Chris. As we begin, I want to pause for a moment as we recognize those of our church family, those members of our church who have gone to be with God since last Memorial Day. You do not have to stand if you do not wish, but as we prepare to read each of these names, as I read your loved one's name, if you would like to stand, please do so. Wilton Jack Pearson. Wife is Joyce Pearson. Daughters Rebecca Feldman and her husband Jack, and Rachel Atkins and her husband Brent. A son John Pearson, 7 grandchildren and 4 great grandchildren. Frank Howard. Wife Mildred Howard. Daughters Jean Nelson and her husband Mike, and Lynn Helms and her husband Larry. Sister Ruby Halsey. 2 grandchildren, 1 step-granddaughter, and 2 great step-granddaughters, or grandchildren, excuse me. Faye Phillips. Daughter Maxie Freeman and her husband Wesley. Brother Ray Capps. 3 grandchildren. 2 grand-in-law children. And a great-granddaughter. Robert Riley, cousin Buster Fowler, cousin Vera Bowen, a special aunt Mary Ellen Friddle, and several other aunts. Catherine Elrod, son Robert Elrod and his wife Shirley, a sister Merle Shirley, 2 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. Faye Jones, daughters Jesselyn Watson and husband Terry, Becky Williams and husband Lee, sister Nancy Harris, a sister Bill Moore, a sister Jean Owen, 6 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren, and M.J. Dolly Cooper, wife Melber Cooper, son Bob Cooper and wife Ellie, daughter Beth Cooper, sons Dan Cooper and wife Kathy, Missy, Tim Cooper and wife Kathy, a brother Talmadge Cooper, 6 grandchildren, 3 step-grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, 6 step-great-grandchildren. All of these are members of our congregation. We know that there are others within our family who lost other family members who were not members, some losing sons and aunts and uncles. One, William Dixon, losing a wife. All of these we remember. All of these we hold dearly within our hearts. There are many stories that could be shared. Some of them that we might not want to share. Others that would make us laugh, and still others that would bring us to tears. But each having her or his influence within our lives, because each of us is a part of this family too. And at the close of the message today, we will offer a special prayer for you who are family, who are part of our family, but who more closely are their family. And we will do that at the close of the message, praying for you and your days ahead. I want to ask, have you ever just sat and listened to stories of the past told by your parents or your grandparents or others who have just a year or two of age on them? What are some of the stories that you remember? Perhaps they were stories about yourself, or stories about particular occasions. What stories do you remember that are repeated on certain occasions, especially around birthdays or Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving? Those stories often reflect valuable and valued memories, whether of good times or bad. Perhaps some of those stories were about how your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents got through the Depression or through the war. Sometimes they are stories from which you learn extremely valuable lessons, like don't even think about doing away with the fruit bags at Christmas at First Baptist Church. I was told that early on. But that story goes way back to times of depression as well. The hymn of praise that is found in Psalm 145 issues a call to remember the mighty acts of God and to continue not just remembering them yourself, but to continue to tell them, to future generations. Now, this particular psalm is actually from a later period than from the lifetime of David, because some of its internal characteristics include things out of the Aramaic language, which was later, and the use of earlier psalms, and also because it is of a form that developed later within writing. It is an acrostic. Each verse starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But it is an important psalm that shares the understanding of the truth and the power and the presence of God as it is passed on to each successive generation, as those valued memories are related and not kept inside, but shared. As the stories of God's mighty acts are told and retold and retold again. And this psalm also speaks to the greatness of God, a greatness that leads to praise. At this time of the year, we recognize American soldiers who have died for the country. We recognize and remember members of our own church family who have died since last Memorial Day, many of whom in each case have made contributions to the life of the church, many of whom whose stories can help us to remember God's call upon our own lives, many of whom served as Sunbeam leaders and Sunday school teachers and RA leaders, as deacons and in other capacities, not just within the church, but within the community at large. And we are reminded that all memories are important. All memories are important. Even those that aren't so great that we sometimes seek to shove way back in the deep recesses of our hearts and our minds, because they help to shape us and make us who we are. They help us to build foundations as we continue to construct our lives. They help us to recognize not only who we are as individuals, but as families, as community, even as church. And they help us to live today as well as plan for the future. These stories and these valued memories challenge us to do something to tangibly remember in our actions the work and sacrifices that were made for our well-being. And not just the work and the sacrifice of Jesus made for our well-being, but the work and the sacrifice of those family and friends and neighbors for our well-being. The psalmist here opens this hymn, verses that we did not read, expressing his purpose to sing praises to God every day, forever and ever. Not just on Sabbath, not just on special occasions, but every day, forever and ever. Recognizing God as the ruler over everything, over every moment of life, not just special occasions, as they might be labeled. The words and the phrasing in this whole hymn are simple and yet profound. God's splendor, God's holiness and mercy are stated simply, but they're stated in such a way that they also require a worshipful response. The theme of the whole psalm is the remembrance of God's glory and action, and that starting in verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In fact, we find here that God's greatness is even beyond being fully comprehended. But we should not try anything less than to fully comprehend. As great as the quests and the discoveries are within the scientific realms in our own world, the most difficult and sometimes the most frustrating as well as the most exhilarating quest is to seek to truly understand God. It can be among the most exhilarating things when we have those moments of understanding, but it can also be among the most frustrating of quests. And yet, I would contend it is of the utmost importance that we seek and continue to seek, not just today, but every day, forever and ever, that understanding. We've talked in other venues in past weeks about how there is currently a rise in the United States of persons who claim either no religion or who claim atheism. In fact, many seem to be placing more confidence in science and human achievement than in anything else. I would tell you that if we understand what the psalmist is saying, it would seem that many of those who claim atheism or even agnosticism do so because it is so much easier to confine ourselves to scientific search than the difficult task, or should I say, the much more difficult task of understanding God. Reading a couple of blogs recently, a discussion between a guy claiming atheism and a guy who is a Texas Baptist, a very moderate Texas Baptist, and they're talking about the writings of Blaise Pascal and Aristotle and all kinds of other folks. And it seemed to me, though both had some flaws in their arguments, it seemed to me that the atheist whose parents were atheists and who kept saying that he was grateful for that because he knew that science could eventually prove everything. As they went back and forth, I was struck by the fact that he kept making statements almost as glibly as some on the religious scene who make glib statements about God because they don't want to really try and understand. That I thought, you know, part of your problem is you are afraid of the difficulty of the mystery, and you want what you consider the certainty on the one hand. Now, I'm not belittling scientific explorations and discoveries, because there were many, many that actually were discovered by strong church people. But it seems to me that the more difficult task is to seek to understand the greatness of God and to comprehend that about God than any scientific discovery we might have. Yet God in Christ shows us that we can indeed begin to gradually understand some of the things of God by remembering His acts the things that He does, even for us, and then passing them along to others who will think and talk and reason, and in whom we may even find more insight than what we have had before. So it is imperative that we remember God's greatness, that we seek that understanding, and that we pass it along. And no, we're not going to sing. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. But in verses 4 and following, we find that these verses not only stand as a testimony of what earlier generations have done, they have remembered and they have told, but these verses also serve as a challenge to each successive generation. For each generation has a responsibility to declare and laud the deeds of God. Those miraculous deeds, which include spiritual miracles of redemption, the theophanies, whether physical or spiritual, are to be treasured and to be declared. Some are terrible and terror-inspiring, and that's true. This guy in the blog said, if God were really there and were really great and was really good, then God would never allow all the murders and rapes and other things to be recorded in His biography. All of that would be taken out. And I thought, no, because then it would not be reality and God would not be a part of our reality. So some of those stories are terrible and terror-inspiring. A friend of mine recently talked about in their church, they did this read through the Bible in 90 days. I kind of rolled my eyes and he said, if you read X number of pages every day, you can do it. But they told the people, don't read and think about it, just read it all the way through, because there's such a lack of even understanding where stories are in the Bible these days. And he said, you wouldn't believe the number of people that came to me and said, I don't ever want to read the Old Testament again. There's too much violence and stuff in there. And he said, well, but you know, that was life. And God was present in that violence and all that other stuff. And there is something that we can learn about God and God's greatness and God's forgiveness even in those stories. And as many of those as there are in the Hebrew Scriptures, and there are some in the New Testament, not the least of which is the terrible, painful killing of Jesus, they still pale when compared to the abundant goodness, to the righteousness, and to the forgiveness which God brings. And we, when we remember those and when we seek that understanding of God, are to add the treasured or valued memories of our own experiences to that great storehouse. For you see, no one generation can ever contain or fully express the praise due to God, nor the wondrous acts which God does. All are to meditate on Him and to proclaim, the word literally means to pour forth our knowledge of God in all areas of life. We are to use all of the heart and the mind, all of our senses and intellect in praising God and learning of Him and teaching of Him. These valued memories are not to be kept to ourselves. We are to make known God and His character to all persons, and we are to become part of those valued memories ourselves as we live those lives day by day, forever and ever. That is the call of this passage. That is the challenge that we are given by the psalmist in Psalm 145, to tell of His faithfulness, to speak of God's providential care, of God's patience and compassion, even in difficult days, to share God's goodness, which extends to those even those who think they are insignificant, to share God's goodness that extends even to those who claim to be atheists. Remember what you have learned from God, from these whom we remember. Keep those valued memories, but don't lock them away. Share them. Share them not just for your own sake, but for the sake of the present generation, for the sake of future generations, for the sake of our own world. May we pray, and may we especially remember you who have lost loved ones to death, but whose loved ones have found even more life in God. May we pray. Our gracious God, as we come before you, we remember each of these of our church family who have gone on to be in your presence. Our memories are valuable. Some of those are great, some perhaps not so good. And yet, in the middle of all of that, we know that you are present and that they are present with you. We thank you for the good and cherished times. We ask that as each family member goes forward in her or his life, that you would continue to give guidance, to give comfort, to give strength, to give the assurance of your watch care over their loved ones, but also even over them. May we each and every one become part of the valued memories of others in our community, in our church, in our family. Not for our sake, but so that the world might know even more of your loving care. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is "Take the Name of Jesus With You," number 235. As we share that name, even in the memories of our family and friends, may others find that grace that we have found. Our altar is open for any decision that you might wish to make today. As we come, as we sing, number 235, "Take the Name of Jesus With You."